In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So before we begin, I'd like to just tell you about what we're going to do starting next week. For 40 days, we're going to enter into this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, Luisa Picaretta. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through the titles of Luisa. Okay. So that we want to do that for 40 days. So, and the reason is Archbishop Cassati asked us years ago on that day, January 23rd, to pray these prayers in the divine will to anticipate the anniversary of Luisa. So to anticipate the anniversary of Luisa 77 years ago that she died, what I think God is asking, asking of us is get to know Luisa. It's important that we know Luisa. Luisa is, again, as you're, I was just going over the titles again, Mike, it just keeps on astonishing me. Who is this Luisa Picaretta that Jesus is telling us about? Who is she that Jesus would give her these titles? And as you go through these 40 days of the titles, we're going to read bit by bit. We're going to get about four people to read. So if you want to just listen, Amy, you will give you the writings or where they are located, but you can also read the titles if you wish, and also hear the titles if you wish. And as you go through this, you're in awe. You're in awe of what Jesus says about her. She's so, so amazing. So tonight we're going to begin with Father Bernardo. The letter 13, but we want to hear what Jesus said. He says, Luisa says to, in the last reading, he says, I pray, dear Jesus, to bring you one wish, one fiat in your heart, one fiat in your words, one fiat in your intellect. She says, will transform your being into one single act of the divine will. So again, this is, read the letters of Luisa. Listen to this beautiful soul. And this is how she lived. We want this, this omnipotent fiat of God in reigning in us. So here to this letter to Father Bernardo, to Father Bernardo of the Most Holy Hearts from Assisi, most esteemed one in the Lord. And listen how she speaks to the priest. Most esteemed one in the Lord. St. Francis says this, that if he was walking down the road and there's an angel or a priest, he would kneel in front of the priest. And why? I mean, I'm not saying this is what, you know, it's just to begin to understand the holy priesthood and why God wants to use the holy priesthood. If it was a sinful priest and an angel, this is what he said. He would kneel in front of the priest and kiss his hand because the ontological change that's there. Now, it could be sinful. It could be awful. It could be terrible. But even the Holy Mass, like people say, well, we found out this priest is like this or this priest is like that. Did the sacraments, are they true to us? I mean, you know, he was a sinful priest and the church says ex opere operato. The church takes the place of the sinful priest. And the sacraments, if they're said properly, they're there. The Holy Mass, it's there if the priest says the words. All of us are sinful, okay? And what Jesus wants is he wants to sanctify the priesthood. This is why Luisa said, what's coming, what God is going to do with the Holy Priesthood is he's going to change it to the way he wanted it from the beginning. So here, Luisa knows this. Luisa knows there's going to be houses of the resurrection of the faith in the new era. These houses of the resurrection of the faith, this new era that's close, whereas those priests that survive what's coming will be living the life that Jesus says will follow the example of St. Philip Neri. Now, St. Philip Neri, his life was a life of love. St. Philip Neri was peaceful, joyful, and happy. He was a happy priest. He was the one, when you read his story, when you read his life, he at one time shaved half of his beard because people are saying, you know, they think, you know, what you're saying is kind of wacky. And he says, really? Oh, she says, this is what the people were telling him. You've got to come across more, you know, civil, more. So he goes, okay, thank you. Shaved off half of his beard. And he walked around the town and they go, what? You know, this is the worst thing to do. He goes, no, I'm nobody, I'm nothing. He goes, so this spirituality of St. Philip Neri is a spirituality of love. And this is what God is going to bring his priesthood to. So this is what she says. Most esteem one in the Lord. This is the priesthood. What I recommend to you. Now here's Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will, who Jesus is constantly talking to. What I, this little one, this little nothing, recommend to you is to look at the divine will in all things. See the divine will in all things. Now, how do you train yourself to do this? It's with the fiat. It's Our Lady says, not my, she said, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. Jesus said, Heavenly Father, not my will, but your will be done. This docility, this surrender, this submission is what God is looking for in his priesthood, that the priests surrender to God. The priests begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. I mean, you're going to hear it later on, which is how Louisa says, how to be happy. So she says, I recommend to you to look at the divine will in all things. When you get up in the morning, you do your prevening act. When you do your prayers, you pray in the divine will. When you brush your teeth, comb your hair, take a shower, you pray in the divine will. When you eat your breakfast, you pray in the divine will. Everything becomes the divine will in everything that you think, say, and do. Both the favorable and the adverse, the painful, sorrowful ones. So, I mean, you know, as you get older, your body aches a little bit more. And, you know, one comedian said he woke up and he says, oh, man, it was hard to get out of bed. And he says, well, here's a new pain I got to live with for the rest of my life. And that's God is taking everything away from us so that we can be with him crucified. And this is where the church is going as well. The saints have all said that the bride of Christ must be crucified with Jesus, must go to Calvary and be crucified with the Lord. This is what we're experiencing. And good. Why is it good? Because the kingdom is coming. He's freeing us from the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin, the doubt. He's freeing us. So she says, I recommend to you is that you look at the divine will in all things, favorable things and the adverse and painful, sorrowful ones. And in the contrasts of life, which no one lacks. So here we're all suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, all of us are. And to a greater or lesser degree, next to the person we're near, we're all suffering. So she says, in the contrasts of life, which no one lacks, rather, blessed Jesus allows these sufferings in order to form the little rocks on which to raise the building of sanctity within us. So the sufferings that we're going through, the doom and gloom is all around us. I mean, it's fiat. Lord, you are in charge. I trust you. Yes, there's going to be doom and gloom. We have to go to Calvary to be crucified. That's why I love Lent. Lent is a time where you have the grace to pray, fast, and do penance. So that's why we want to start before Lent, even these prayers for the 4th of March when Louisa went to heaven. These prayers, which as you read her titles, you begin to understand how unique this little newborn, he calls her the newborn. Look at all those titles. That's what he wants to say about us. He gives this to Louisa because he says, this is what my children are going to be. When they follow your example, Louisa, This is how they're going to live. So when you read the titles and you go through those titles, we're very far from what Jesus said about Louisa. But Jesus is telling us this to show us what he expects of us. To enter into this life, you have to have the humility of Louisa. What's the humility of Louisa? Following the humility of Mary. This let it be done to me as you say. So blessed Jesus allows these sufferings in order to form the little rocks, this foundation, to raise a building, to build this building of sanctity within us. And since without the cross, we would lack the primary element to becoming saints. So if you haven't, I mean, here's another book. It's called The Cross is Sacrament. This is what Jesus tells Louisa about the cross, why the Holy Cross is so important and why each priest should have a cross to bless people with. You put the stole on. This is the sign of the priesthood to bless the people. It's Jesus's blessing that's coming upon them. This is the ontological change. You know, a deacon can't bless people. The deacon can bless objects, can bless things, but a deacon can't bless people. Why? That's the role of the priest. What God is asking of his priesthood is to begin to live that ontological change. And he says, Jesus says to Louisa, and Louisa now sends to us through this priest, without the cross, you lack the primary element to becoming a saint. So the crosses in our lives are essential. And if we're running around like, oh my, what's happening? You know, it's not a good example to the souls that are going to be shaking. The souls are going to be shaking for what's coming. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but there's no doom and gloom. It's we trust in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We hope in Jesus. We have confidence in Jesus. That's why we want to go through these titles that, I mean, it's the merit badges that she has is just astonishing. As we go through these titles, the first day you listen to the first day out of the 40 days, you're going to be amazed. That's January 23rd. That first day when we go through this, you're going to go, we got 39 more days of this, where each day there's something new that he's telling Louisa. And it's not a thought, a word, a deed. It's about 5 pages of what he says about Louisa. Each day, single space, 12 font. When you go through this, you're in awe. I'm in awe. I mean, who is this Louisa Picaretta? So she says the same. She says, I don't mean to become a saint. Means that you rely on yourself, too much on yourself. You look at yourself instead of abandoning yourself in the arms of Jesus. So he says, if you want to become a saint, you don't rely on yourself. Everything is fiat. You stub your toe, fiat. You knock over, you know, a really important vase or vase as it hits the floor and shatters. Fiat. Don't rely on yourself. Don't look at yourself instead of abandoning yourself in the arms of Jesus. So here's another thing that is so important to us as we read Louisa. She would abandon herself in the arms of Jesus every day. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and you don't know what to say, you run out of words, you don't know, you've listened long enough, and what do you do now? Abandon yourself in the arms of Jesus. Use your mind's eye to be in the arms of Jesus. You are his newborn like Louisa. And so she says, lean on him. And then you will see all things, all the pains, all the crosses, all the miseries, all the weaknesses, even your very defects and illnesses will lose their look and will all turn into messengers and bearers of sanctity. It's Jesus knows what we need. I mean, say each one of us is a block of marble, and you have this. Jesus wants to make of us his divine masterpiece. He's got to chisel away a lot of stuff, a lot of useless rock, useless marble. And if you've ever chiseled marble, I've done that. Chiseling marble, it's astonishing. It's not like wood. Wood is different. When you're hitting a piece of wood and you're not hitting it correctly and you hit a crack, you could crack the whole thing. And it's then you got to change what you're, you know, throw it away or start something new. But with marble, it pulverizes. And it's little by little that God takes things away from us. So she says very clearly, if you lean on Jesus, you will see all things, all your pains, your crosses, your miseries, your weaknesses, even your very defects and illnesses will lose their look because you're not looking at them. You're looking at Jesus. And we'll all turn into messengers. All that you're going through, Jesus is going to show you, this is the way to heaven. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. It's another way of understanding it. If you're a wild horse and the owner wants you to ride you, he's got to break you. He's got to break you. And I think that's the thing that most people don't want. They want to be, I want to do it my way. But Jesus shows us that if we're not broken, we'll go to hell. And he has to break our selfishness, our self-centeredness, our stubbornness. And he uses many, many ways to do it. Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. So Jesus, Louisa says this, sweet Jesus, he says, everything will turn into messengers, bearers of this sanctity that God wants to give you. The sweet Jesus gave you everything to make of you a saint. He's called you to religion. He's given you crosses. He's given you nourishments. And if you sin and are not holy, you do not want to know the cause. The cause is this. You lack union with Jesus. Union with Jesus, she says, floors all sins. Love kills all the passions. If you love Jesus, it kills all your passions. And abandonment in Jesus and trust in Jesus are the nourishment in order to grow in sanctity. So now she's just talking about volume 1 through volume 10. You have to become a saint, she says. What she's saying to this priest is, you haven't really read 1 through 10 yet. You haven't begun to get on this path of becoming a saint. She says, because then you could go to volume 11 through volume 19 and learn how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, getting ready for the second Pentecost, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming upon the earth. This new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II told us to get ready for. So Jesus says to, Louisa says to us, so with Jesus, when you abandon yourself in Jesus and trust in Jesus, the nourishments are given to you in order to grow in sanctity. And here is the means to sin no more, to be united with Jesus, to love Jesus, and to always do his holy divine will. You know, the impossibility of sanctity, which most people say, oh, I can't become a saint. Volume 1 through volume 10 is to become a saint. Volume 11 through 19 is to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, volume 20 through volume 36 is how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This is what Adam lost. And God wants to give back to humanity all and even more than what Adam lost. How could he give more than breathing into Adam and to become God's image and likeness? It's now the image and likeness of the new Adam, Jesus, and of the new Eve, Mary. So she says, this is how to start. Don't think about the past. This harms you a great deal. If you've gone to confession, if you've confessed your sins, there's only two people that remember it, you and the devil. And if the devil taps you on the shoulder and says, look at your shadow, look at your shadow. Look what you've done. What happens at that point, you turn your back to the light, to Jesus, the light of the world, and your back is to him. And then you're under his spell. Yes, look at me, how bad, how horrible. That's what he does at the day of death. When we die, it's the last chance the devil has to say, God doesn't want you. You know how you know how you've lived. The devil knows how you've lived. But Jesus forgives and he forgets. So Luisa is saying to us, don't think about the past. This harms you a great deal. The past comes in. You say, Jesus, you've forgiven me. Thank you. If you've gone to confession, if you made a good confession, see, the unforgivable sin is the sin not confessed. Confess your sins. I mean, even every now and then, every 10 years, go through a general absolution, a general confession, not a general absolution, a general confession where you go through your whole life. This is how I lived from when I was born until I was 7. This is how I lived when I was 7 until I was 14. This is how, go through your life. Go through every 7 years. Recognize how you treated God and how you treated your family, how you treated the people that you were around. Recognize it. And then there's a beautiful act of contrition. I'll try to get that out. It's a beautiful act. I just copied it a couple of days ago. It's one day I'll read it. I can't remember it right now. I copied it and I put it in my computer, but I haven't sent it out yet. It's unbelievable. It's the good act of contrition. So don't think about the past. This harms you a great deal. Rather, even today, begin your life with Jesus. Start your morning by, good morning, Lord. This morning is for you, Lord. This day is for you, Lord. And everything that I think, everything that I say, everything that I do, I want it done in the holy divine will. In the name of every human being, I want, as you asked Luisa, to take the place of humanity. I want this day to be your day. And I pray this prayer in the name of all of humanity, past, present, and future. Jesus says, when he hears that prayer, he hears everybody who's ever been conceived. Pray that prayer with our voice. This is an extraordinary time. This is, I mean, even divine mercy. God knew that this time would be filled with misery, filled with all that is opposed to God. And he knew that this prayer of divine mercy from Good Friday to Divine Mercy Sunday is essential for us today. He said to St. Faustina, it would be like being baptized. Even the temporal punishment due to sin is gone. Why would God do this today? Because time is very short. And as Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, very, very clearly, she said, time has now come to an end. And it's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of Lucifer. It's the end of the reign of 6,000 years of misery. Since we, through Adam, we obeyed Lucifer. And his, I will not serve, I will not obey, that attitude, that hellish attitude. And Jesus came 2,000 years ago, freed us from the slavery of the devil. Yet we're still under the thumb. We still have to go to confession. Why? This great day that Jesus keeps on telling Luisa, get ready for the day when the return, when you're going to witness the return of my fiat. This great and glorious day is close. So Jesus says to us through Luisa, don't think about the past. This harms you a great deal. Rather, today, begin your life with Jesus. And you will find out for yourselves how all things change for you. You will feel like another man. You'll be born again in all that is holy. That's the divine will. Every day it's a new day. Every day it's more glorious. You'll find out for yourself how all things are going to change for you. There's the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints are gone. You will feel like another man, born again to all that is holy. And lastly, now she's talking to all the priests. She's talking to every one of us. Lastly, I tell you that if Jesus made me right as many as 2 times, listen to this makes me feel good. I don't respond to anybody. I'm awful. He says, I tell you that if Jesus made me right as many as 2 times to you, which I do for almost no one, it's because he loves you. So this is important for us, to the priests. He loves the priests and he wants the priests to become saints. And like I've said before, you know, the fiddleback vestments of the, you know, the traditional mass, there's a pillar on the front. There's a cross on the back. The priests must be scourged and must be crucified with Jesus. And like I've said before, the ones who scourge and crucify you more than anything is the people. You're not doing this. Father does this. You're doing this. You're afraid. It's like when you talk to a priest, it's a lot of times what happens is the first answer is no. Why? It's you it's the response, basically. Jesus says this to us through Louisa. He loves you, priest. He wants you, priest, to become a saint. Then she says to Louisa, therefore I beg you, do the deeds. What's the deeds? It's to live in the divine will. And then she says, I leave you in the divine will, clasped within the arms of Jesus. I leave you in the divine will, clasped in within the arms of Jesus. I beg you to do the deeds. What are the deeds? To read, to study, to put this into practice. She says, you'll feel like a new person when you begin to read and study and put into practice the divine will. Every day, it's something new. It's for me, it's like being on a ride amusement park. Every day is something like, whoa, this is astonishing. It's so exhilarating to recognize that everything that you think, everything that you say, everything that you do, Jesus knows. And when we try to live in the divine will, when we're striving for that, he takes charge. The things that he will do, it's an astonishment to me every day. The things that he leads us, guides us, directs us. It might be a thought that you have that he manifests in a way, and you go, thank you, Lord. I mean, this is exactly what you told me, you know, in prayer or in reading the writings. And here it is. I'm witnessing it. And this is what she means is you'll feel like a brand new man. It's not anything that you've read in the lives of the saints. Everything points to this. Everything in the Holy Church points to the divine will. But as you begin to live in the divine will, it's really a new beginning. So letter number 48 to Michele, Father Michele from Bari. May the holy divine will of God be our continuous kiss and transform us completely into Jesus. So here, how she begins this letter to this priest, may the holy divine will of God be our continuous kiss of Jesus, transforming us completely into Jesus. See, they say you are what you eat. Well, if your kiss is to Jesus every day, he is going to transform you completely into him. That's his goal, image and likeness, especially for the priests. So she says, most reverend father and theologian, may the good Jesus bind us in his holy divine will. So we want to be tied to him. We want to have no freedom away from the divine will. We're stubborn. I mean, this is a way of breaking us. We're stubborn. We're self-centered. We're selfish. We're egotistical. Jesus, she says, may the good Jesus bind us. She's talking about herself too, to his most holy divine will. Pray that prayer. So much so as to let us remember our own human will lives no longer. I don't want my human will to, again, what's the human will when you go to confession each week? This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. And Jesus goes, well, so what are you going to do? And you go, I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid this and all sins, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, doubting. I want to stop all this. so that I trust in you completely. I believe in you completely. I have hope in you completely. Christian hope is certain. We are certain of our Lord and his love for us. And then Jesus goes, okay, I'll give you another week. And you go out and you lose your patience. You become upset. You become worried, fearful, anxious, complain. We have to stop it. Jesus says to his apostles, does worry add one moment to your life? Of course it doesn't. He says, stop it. That's a command from Jesus. Oh, but you don't understand. I have to worry about this. Okay, then disobey Jesus. Find out what happens. You'll get an ulcer. You'll get a heart attack. You'll have a stroke. That's the consequences of you being God. You have to trust in him. He's everything. He's our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. Spend time with him in front of the Blessed Sacrament. If you're not spending time with him, you're never going to trust him. If you say you love him and you're not spending time with him, what good is that? It's words. It's not deeds. So she says this. Oh, how happy we would be if we could no longer remember our human will. We would feel the divine seal, that stamp in all of our works. We would feel the breath of Jesus in us. Now, see, that's the other thing too. This isn't fictional. What Jesus says to Louisa, he wants us to know. And Louisa is telling us now, he's went this letter to this priest, Michele, Father Michele. The divine seal in all of our works. We would actually feel Jesus breathe in our breathing. We would know it's not us. We would feel Jesus' heart beating in our heart beating. We know it's not us. You just know that's not my heart beating. We know that's not my breath breathing. We would feel the divine seal in all of our works. We would feel the breath of Jesus. We would feel the very power and love of Jesus in our voice. And then, yes, we are able to say to Jesus, I love you. I really do. Because in your holy divine will, I also have your love in my power. See, it's not just theater saying you love Jesus. It's you have to fall in love with him. I love you. I really do. Do we say that in front of the Blessed Sacrament when we genuflect in front of the Blessed Sacrament? You are my God. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. I love you with all my heart, all my strength, with my whole being. I love you. I really do. You have to fall in love with Jesus, especially our Eucharistic Lord. You have to hear his voice. You have to feel his breath. You have to know his heartbeat. She says, because in your divine will, I also have your divine love in my power. Breathe in my breathing. You take a breath. He takes us at our word. He breathes in our breathing. Beat in my heart beating. This is what John Paul II said. You're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness that has not been seen by the saints. What Louisa is teaching us is this new and divine way of holiness that's transforming the face of the earth. It's the evil one, the evil one who stopped the prayer of Adam in paradise. The evil one who witnessed the prayer of Jesus and Mary. And when they left, it was gone. Now sees the prayer of Adam resurfacing. Mary, Jesus and Mary, their prayer breathing in our breathing, beating in our heart beating. And he's terrified. He knows he's defeated. He was defeated on the cross. And now he knows he's going to be kicked out. Not just the earth, not just our galaxy, not just our solar system, but the universe. He's being kicked out. Why? The kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. Know your goal. Yes, it's going to be tough. It's going to be like a birth. It's going to be painful, but God wins. And we're with God. She says this, therefore, not in my love do I love you, Jesus, but I love you in your love, the only one worthy of you. The only love that's worthy of Jesus is his own love. He doesn't want human love. It's fickle. He wants divine love. That's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. Putting the drop of water in the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ. It's not my love that I love you, but it's your love in me that loves you. You have given me your love and my power. Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. Let me love the Father with your I love you. Let me love the Holy Spirit with your I love you. Let me love you with your I love you. That's what you deserve as God. You don't deserve human misery, miserable love. So what Jesus is showing us is this ecstasy of love that the saints talked about. But they did not enter into it fully because they did not have Louisa. It was a glimpse. Look at the ecstasy of St. Teresa, ecstasy of Catherine of Siena. It's just a glimpse. This divine love is in our power. Why? Jesus, breathe in my breathing. It's our choice. Let I want not my love, but your love in me. So Jesus, she says, this is worthy only of you, love. Louisa tells us the love of Jesus is worthy of Jesus to himself, to give to him. So Jesus, she says, will not let himself be beaten in love by humanity, by any human. Jesus will love us very much, so much as to confuse us with love. I think the word confusion is more like overwhelm us. It's just this life, this love astonish us, overwhelm us. His love is divine. He will love us very much, so much as to overwhelm us with love, to confuse us with love, to drown us in love. So this is what's coming. This is the divine will. In every beat of our heart, in every breath and thought, we will receive one I love you of sweet Jesus. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, think in my thinking. What happens? We receive one I love you from Jesus. And so many of these I love yous will come to us she says, that we won't be able to count them all. It's for every thought, every word, every deed. That's why when we begin the day with the beatification, when we begin the day with the prayer that we pray in the morning, that prayer, it continues to explode with I love yous. He wants us that prayer that we pray, that I can't remember, that starts with a P. It's to pray this, and he says, for the whole day. And he says, you won't be able to count all the I love yous of Jesus throughout the day. It's not only in your heartbeat, not only your breath, not only in your gazing, not only in your hearing, not only in your walking. Every thought, every word, every deed, Jesus says, I want you to be fruitful in this. I want him to be multiplied in this. Uncountable. That's how much I want you, Jesus says. This I love you of Jesus in the divine will is ours. And all that he asks of us is to give our yes. So when we give our yes to the Lord, we can do that prevenient act in the morning. Thank you, whoever's praying it. We can do the prevenient act in the morning, and throughout the day, we do our actual acts. And what it is heaven. The I love you of Jesus is there continuously. And as a priest, you bless the people with this I love you of Jesus. And this is the thing that's so amazing. He says, I'm going to reform my priesthood the way I wanted from the beginning. We have no idea what's coming. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. But what we know is that everyone will become Catholic because of the priesthood. Right now, everyone leaves the Catholic faith because of the priesthood, it seems like. But Jesus wants us to recognize that he's going to do this. And all that he wants from us is our yes, our fiat. Yes, Lord, let it be done as you say. So here is the answer, she says. It seems that Jesus says to you, do you want me to love you much, very much, too much? Do you want me, Jesus, to pour into you the immense oceans of my love to reach the point of becoming mad for love of you? To live always in my will, you must forget yourself. Let me live in you, Jesus says. And my love for you will reach the point of the highest point of humanity. Do you want Jesus's love? Forget about yourself. I am nothing. God is everything. Focus on how beautiful, how holy, how perfect, how loving he is. Spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Don't leave him alone. That's why he loved Louisa. Louisa said to Jesus, I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you alone. And so as a little girl, she would kneel in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And then she kept on falling more and more in love with Jesus. And Jesus fell more and more in love with her. And then he used her to bring about this great gift of the divine will to all of humanity. Jesus says, the more you do my holy divine will, the more I, Jesus, will love you. Because my divine will deserves all my love, not human love. My divine will deserves all of my divine love. Therefore, I, God, will also put my love at your disposal. And this is where the priest blesses the people, anoints the people. The miracles that are going to come through the priesthood, Jesus tells Louisa, unheard of prodigies are going to come through the priesthood. This is one of the reasons why the priest holds his cross. This is why the priest always has holy oil on him to bless the people with. He says very clearly, I've got great plans for my priesthood, Jesus says. Oh, how good. Now, Louisa says, oh, how good is Jesus. If we knew him, we would die enraptured with love. And with love, the enraptured Jesus hides us in love so as not to make us die. Only the doubt that Jesus does not love us very much saddens Jesus and embitters Jesus. Love calls for more love. The more we believe Jesus loves us, the more we feel like loving him. And Jesus, seeing himself loved, loves us more. And then she ends this letter to the priest. Now I thank you for the beautiful image of the Holy Shroud. Again, the face of Jesus. I used to have one, but another priest snatched it. And Father Bucci was like that. Father Bucci, you'd go up to Father Bucci and you'd go, hey, Father Bucci, look what I got here. And he'd go, thank you. And he put it in his pocket. You go, he was hilarious. I mean, it was, everybody would say, Father Bucci just took my rosary. I said, that's Father Bucci. I was wondering if Father Bucci was there when he did this. Another, maybe this is where he learned it. Another priest snatched this image. And Jesus, who is so good, had another priest send me one. Thank you. I commend myself to your holy prayers. The priest prayers are powerful. I say to women who are in trouble with their they see their children in trouble, are desperate. You know, the tears of a woman, a mother, a grandmother are powerful to God. The prayers of a priest are powerful to God too. What you pray for, and especially in the divine will, you will see happen right in front of your eyes. Like I said, the miracles that are going to come through this, through the priesthood are so astonishing. Our Lady of America, she says very clearly, there's going to be more miracles than at Lourdes at Fatima. And I truly believe in every parish. Why? Divine will is healing. I remember one of the things Louisa said to Jesus, my spiritual director stopped reading the divine will and died. She said, if he was reading the divine will, would he be alive? And Jesus said, of course. The divine will is very powerful. It's healing. And the healing that he's bringing through his priesthood is going to astonish the world. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.